You know what they say about even the rich and swearing.
We belong together.
It's June 1993, and 24-year-old Mariah Carey is splashing around in a pond in upstate New York. She smiles up at the hot sun and flips her hair, sending perfect droplets of water streaming through the air. Life's been hard up to this point, but right now she's totally free and happy. Until the director yells cut. And then, when the cameras aren't rolling, she gives herself permission to stop smiling. The water's fucking freezing, and she hates her outfit. She's filming her video for Dreamlover, and the way she imagined it in her head, there was a little bikini and lots of skin. But her outfit for this pond dip is a very chaste pair of cut-off jeans and a button-down shirt. And they're now sopping wet and really hard to move in. She's hoping her next scene gives her something sexier. But when Mariah dries off and heads for wardrobe, guess what's waiting for her? Another pair of denim shorts and a different button-down shirt.
Is this shoot sponsored by J. Crew?
Wait, it gets even worse. The next scene has a crew of shirtless men dancing in a field. But Mariah's placed about 10 feet out in front of them. The only male that's allowed to get anywhere near her is her dog, Jack, who has a cameo.
I mean, 10 times out of 10, I do prefer dogs to shirtless men.
Oh, same. But this song is called Dream Lover. It should be sexy, flirty. Instead, she's only making eye contact with her dog. Because the guy calling the shots, deciding who she dances with, what she's wearing, is the head of her record label and her manager and her boyfriend, Tommy Mottola. And he decides everything. He insists that all her videos be shot within 20 minutes of his house. He decides how much skin she shows and how she wears her hair. For the record, Tommy thinks straightened hair makes Mariah look too urban.
Ugh, and we all know what he means by urban.
Yeah, he likes her hair curly because he thinks it makes her look Italian.
Keep it up, Tommy, and she's gonna look single.
Seriously. But Tommy has his hands on every aspect of Mariah's career. And here's the thing. It wasn't that long ago that Mariah was sleeping on a mattress on the floor. Now she's building her dream house with the man who's making her a star. She was the coat check girl at a shitty sports bar when she met him. And now she's a millionaire. And when it comes to ambition, she and Tommy are completely on the same page. They both want her to be the biggest pop star on the scene. So she pulls up those denim shorts and dances the hell out of that field. She smiles. Her eyes sparkle. She fucking sells it. But deep down, she has to wonder if her real dream lover is out there somewhere waiting. From Wondery, I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams.
And I'm Brooke Ziffrin.
And this is Even the Rich. In our last episode, Mariah made it to New York and into Tommy Mottola's orbit. Now, she's a huge star, but Tommy won't let her out of his sight. And Mariah's starting to feel a little trapped. This is episode 2, Dream Lover. That's the champagne. It's the spring of 1993, and Mariah's padding through the marble halls of her dream house. She's proud of the place, which is grand and pristine and has state-of-the-art everything. Just to put things in context here, she's only 23 years old, but she has her own ballroom.
Man, I was probably 27, maybe 28 when I got my first ballroom.
One of the other perks of the place is its many, many refrigerators. Mariah pulls one of them open, and the intercom on the wall buzzes.
What are you doing?
This is Tommy's contribution to the house. A state-of-the-art security system, complete with cameras in every room, and an intercom that allows him to say sweet nothings to his beloved, no matter where she is. Things like,
what are you doing?
Mariah sighs and yells across the room at the intercom box, getting some juice.
Okay.
Oh, so juice is allowed. Noted.
A few minutes later, Mariah's sitting at her brand new grand piano, her prized possession. She's trying to tap out a melody she keeps hearing in her head. It's something fresh and new, and she doesn't totally have her head wrapped around the sound, but she's excited about it. And then...
What are you doing?
And Mariah has to yell over to that fucking box. I had an idea for a song. And Tommy's like...
Okay.
Oh my God, this is gonna get old fast.
Yeah. But this is Mariah's life all day, every day. If she's not out in the world working, she's at home performing for the security cameras in storybook manner.
Is this storybook written by Stephen King?
It'd be a lot nicer. Storybook manner is what Tommy calls it, because theirs is such a storybook romance. Mm. Mariah calls it Sing Sing, which is the name of the state prison just down the road. And even though the decor in Mariah's house is probably higher end, at least in the actual Sing Sing, you get an hour in the prison yard without Tommy Mottola asking you,
what are you doing?
I mean, she can't even leave the house to go anywhere without him if it's not career related. Not shopping, not to a movie, not to get gasoline. She can't even have her own friends over.
Okay, if I didn't already know it was about Eminem, I'd assume Tommy was the inspiration for the song Obsessed.
Oh, yeah, totally. And there's only one spot in that house where she's off screen. Her bathroom. So Mariah spends hours in the bathtub. It relaxes her body, but her mind's going a mile a minute. There's still so much she wants to do in her life. And there's that melody she keeps hearing in her head, fading in and out. It's got elements of hip-hop and R&B to it. It's way edgier than anything she's ever done before. And she wants to capture it. But she knows there's no way in hell she can do that until she gets Tommy off her back. And then one night, it hits her. An idea. A way to free herself from Tommy's controlling ways forever. It's June 5th, 1993, and Barbara Streisand, Bruce Springsteen, Billy Joel, and Ozzy Osbourne are all sitting butt cheek to butt cheek in St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Manhattan. Because today, Mariah Carey is about to become Mrs. Tommy Mottola.
Whoa, hold up. I thought she was trying to get rid of him.
Well, what I said is that she wanted him to be less controlling. And Tommy is desperate to get married. Mariah figures that if she marries him, he'll trust her and finally let her breathe.
Listen, Tori Spelling has said the exact same thing in multiple Lifetime movies, and it never ends well.
Well, you know that. I know that. And Tori Spelling maybe knows that, but Mariah doesn't. Remember, she started seeing Tommy when she was a teenager. She's still in her early 20s. And let's do a quick rundown of her role models so far. She's got an abusive dad, a passive-aggressive mom, and of course, my personal favorite, the creepy stepdad whose therapy animal is a shotgun. This poor girl has absolutely nothing to go on. So the day of her wedding, she looks out at the crowd. All these famous people are cheering her on. And then she looks over at Tommy, and he looks so friggin' happy. And that's enough to convince her she made the right choice. She feels like everything is going to be just fine. Mariah opens her eyes. She's in a beachfront mansion in Hawaii. It's 3 days after the wedding, the first morning of her honeymoon. She can hear the ocean waves crashing and the wind in the palm trees, accompanied by the soothing sound of her husband's voice as he screams his face off in the other room. She cracks the bedroom door and peeks out. Tommy's screaming at a speakerphone. And on the other line is his own personal publicist. Not Mariah's publicist or a publicist from the label. This is someone Tommy's hired to manage his image as a manly, powerful titan of the music business. And the publicist is screaming back. He's telling Tommy that their wedding photos are going to be on the cover of People magazine, and that this is going to be terrible for Tommy's image. They're trying to create this mythology of Tommy as a shark. And a spread of wedding photos are romantic and fluffy and not very shark-like.
Okay, wait. Of course their wedding is going to be on the cover of People magazine. Mariah's one of the best-selling artists in the world. Plus, Ozzy and Babs were butt to butt.
Exactly. That's what Mariah thinks. She thinks these two grown-ass men are completely missing the point. So Mariah jumps into the conversation. She's like, okay, let's also consider the fact that I'm trying to sell albums, which means that being on the cover of People is good for me. Really obvious stuff. But that just makes the publicist start screaming and cursing at her. And Tommy doesn't defend her. In fact, he's nodding along. And even though she knows she's right, and these two men are just being idiots, she feels hot tears coming on. Because this moment is like so many other moments in her relationship with Tommy. He makes her feel powerless, voiceless. She sees it so clearly now. Her fantasy that Tommy would be different once they got married was just that, a fantasy. She can't stop the tears from coming, so she runs out of the house and takes off down the beach. She has no idea where she's going. She just has to get away.
It's always best to ignore all red flags and then flee after the wedding.
Mm-hmm. She wanders up to a bar on the beach and is about to order herself a drink and calm down, when she realizes she doesn't have any money. Tommy handles the money. Mariah's got nothing. The fact of her helplessness hits her all over again. Finally, she uses the bar phone to collect call her manager back in New York. Her manager buys her a daiquiri over the phone with a credit card. As she sips it, the reality of her situation sinks in. He's not going to change. And now she's in even deeper than she was before. It's July 16th, 1993, and Mr. and Mrs. Tommy Mottola are sitting in the back of a limo on the way to a major gig. Mariah is feeling super nervous. She's a recording artist. Most of her work is done in the studio. And even though she's got two hit records out, she doesn't have a lot of experience in front of live audiences. She has no idea what to expect, and her stomach feels like it's trying to flip inside out. The forests and fields start being replaced by old warehouses and mobile home parks. Mariah's on her way to a venue in cloudy, depressed Schenectady, New York. That's where Tommy's decided she'll shoot her first Thanksgiving TV special. It's not what Mariah would have chosen. She'd have gone someplace with a little more flash, like Radio City Music Hall. But there's a committee at Columbia Records who decides these things, and Tommy's the chairman of the board. Mariah's not even invited to the meetings.
Well, now we know why Mariah supported Free Britney.
They're approaching the venue when Mariah starts noticing that some of the streets are blocked off with these giant orange police barriers. It's like something out of a post-apocalyptic movie. Her stage fright was already bad enough. Mariah's about to debut a bunch of new songs from her next album. She doesn't know how people will react. And now, just to help her sense of dread, she's moving through what looks like downtown Chernobyl. Then it gets even weirder. Right outside her window, she sees cops running around with guns and pushing people behind the barricades. Bright police lights flicker and sirens chirp as the limo door opens and a security detail hurries her towards the stage door. And now Mariah's like, okay, what the fuck is going on? And that's literally what she says out loud to the security guy. At first, he looks at her like she's joking. And then he sees she's dead serious. She's clueless. So he tells her, it's for you. These people are all here to see you.
Wait, she knows she's famous, right?
Of course. But up to this moment, she'd never seen her fame face to face. Actually, it's more like face to face to face times 5,000 because the whole city has turned out to catch a glimpse of her. Up to this point, Mariah has done nothing but write and record and keep her head down. She's been totally focused on her work. And Tommy's kept a super tight lid on her exposure to her fans. Until now. When Mariah takes the stage, she's hit with a giant wave of screaming and applause. It feels good. It feels like love.
Aw, Mimi deserves love.
Yeah, she does. I mean, she knows her mom loves her, deep down. She knows Tommy does too, on some weird level. But this? The audience's love has no strings attached. It inspires Mariah to sing better than she ever has. She just kills it out there. No nerves, just pure adrenaline. And when the taping ends, Mariah is on a total high. The woman who rides home next to Tommy that night is a brand new Mariah. She knows there are people out there who love her and support her no matter what. And she's feeling a little cocky. She feels like she's just found muscles she didn't know she had, and she wants to flex them. So she reaches out and turns on the radio to a station she loves. Something she usually only listens to when she's alone. Hip-hop. Tommy winces at the beat as Mariah sits back in her seat and watches the nighttime landscape slide by. By the time they get off the highway, the hip-hop station is starting to crackle and fade, which means it's Tommy's turn. He cues up his favorite track from his favorite CD, Frank Sinatra's My Way. And that's the song that's blasting in the limo as our happy couple pulls back into their happy home for the night. But for the first time since that awful honeymoon, Mariah actually sees a way out of this. Call it her way.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank?
Literally always.
Okay, well, the new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look, and it comes in luxe gold packaging. It feels incredibly high-end, but it is a lot more affordable.
Oh yeah, the Panorama Mascara lives up to its name by giving your lashes panoramic volume and a fully fanned out look. Its tapered mascara wand catches every single lash, including those hard-to-reach corner lashes. When I do wear makeup, I do the bare minimum, and that's usually eyeliner and mascara and lip gloss.
Yeah.
And so mascara has to really pop.
Yes.
And let me tell you, L'Oreal, this baby pops.
Yeah. I do love the packaging. Like, I'm all about that.
So if you're looking for an affordable mascara that gives you voluminous, lengthened lashes, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
So as a listener of Even the Rich, you know that audio piques the imagination, which is why we're so excited for Audible's new collection of exclusive thrillers. They feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances that really bring the story to life.
Oh, yeah. The next listen on my list is the psychological thriller, The Silent Patient.
Ooh.
So it's all about a therapist who tries to unravel the mystery of a woman who refuses to talk or give any explanation as to why she shot her husband. I mean, it's going to be the perfect binge listen, and you know I love my thrillers.
I can agree. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
Yeah, new members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/eventherich or text eventherich to 500-500.
That's audible.com/eventherich or text eventherich to 500-500 to get started.
It's the summer of 1995, and Mariah Carey is sliding down deeper and deeper into her massive bathtub at Sing Sing. She's been working her ass off for the last 2 years, trying to find a way to feel like herself. She wants some space, some freedom. But it feels like Tommy's got her in one of those ninja knots that just gets tighter and tighter the more you wriggle. And Mariah feels like she's down to her last move, the one thing she's still got some control over, her voice. That amazing voice that got that audience in Schenectady so excited. And right now, out there in the world outside her bathtub, a battle royale is underway over that voice. Mariah climbs out of the tub and checks her phone nervously. Still no calls. Ever since that concert in Schenectady, Mariah's been way more vocal in the studio. And not just when the record light is on. She knows what she wants. She knows what her audience wants. And it's not what Tommy wants at all. Tommy's hellbent on keeping things as white and poppy as possible. Curly Italian hair, cut-off jeans, and daddy's button down.
Okay, please never say daddy's button down again.
But Mariah doesn't want to play that role anymore. She wants to be herself, all of herself. And that means more hip-hop. She's looking for her sound, a sound that's true to who she is on the inside. And she's reached out to a new collaborator for help. His name is Russell Tyrone Jones of the borough of Staten Island, or as we all know him, Old Dirty Bastard. Mariah asked him to do a rap feature on her new track, but he's been flaky and non-committal. He's like, it'll happen if it happens. And since then, nothing. Not a word. Mariah's worried he thinks she's too soft, too pop, too white. She wishes she could just get on the phone with him and explain that's not who she is. Not really. But it's been radio silence. So Mariah slips into her white silk nightgown and climbs into bed. As quietly as possible so she doesn't wake Tommy. The bed is massive, which is good because they're a million miles apart right now. But just as Mariah's head hits the pillow, the phone rings. She jumps out of bed and grabs it. And the news is amazing. ODB just showed up at the studio. The rap happened just like that.
Oh, I know it did. Introducing old, dirty, doggy.
Mariah's ecstatic and lets out a little whoop. Tommy stirs in bed, but honestly, Mariah's too excited about the ODB score to think about Tommy. So she tells the studio guy to play the rap for her over the phone. The down and dirty rhymes of ODB start busting through the receiver, and Mariah pulls a seriously badass move. She puts it on speaker.
Oh, love it.
Yeah. ODB spits out rhymes like me and Mariah go back like babies with pacifiers. Mariah's like a kid on Christmas morning screaming and laughing and jumping up and down on the bed. This is the music from her teenage years. This is where she's been wanting to take her music for years, and it's finally happening. After the rap finishes, Mariah looks over to Tommy. His head is cocked to one side, and he's got a look on his face like he smells something disgusting. He says, "The fuck is that? I can do that. Get the fuck out of here with that."
I can do that? Okay, yeah, I could just hear it now. Come on, fellow old white men, let's do some daggum hip hop.
Diggity. The next morning, Tommy rallies the other suits at the label, and they all tell Mariah this rap with ODB is going to throw her fan base into shock. But Mariah's not going to let them tell her what her fans want. She knows better than anyone. And she's right. When the single comes out, it's a huge hit.
Mm-hmm. Point for Mariah, because this is honestly one of my faves.
Yeah. Our girl's getting stronger. She's getting louder. She's reaching down deep. But what she's finding there isn't pretty. Mariah's in the studio late at night, scrawling lyrics for a new song in her notebook. She's been working all day on songs for her upcoming album, Daydream, and they have names like One Sweet Day. But tonight, she's writing lyrics for her alter ego, Bianca. And Bianca isn't sweet. She's more in line with the angry white girl rockers who are hot at the moment. Singers like Alanis Morissette and Shirley Manson from Garbage. Mariah envies these women because they get to be messy in their music, their style, their emotions. While Mariah feels like she always has to be the perfect pop princess. Mariah finishes jotting down some lyrics, then steps up to the mic and screams her rage away. Here are some sample lines.
You know, I think you're kind of stupid. Why can't you get it through your big fat head? I hate you. I hate you. I wish you were dead.
Wow, that was amazing. But also, I gotta wonder, who could she possibly be directing that at?
I mean, truly a mystery of the world.
Seriously.
Mariah writes enough songs as Bianca for an entire album. She even designs a cover, which features a Polaroid of a dead cockroach with the title Someone's Ugly Daughter written over it in lipstick.
Gotta hear these songs.
You actually can. Columbia tried to bury them, but a few of them are on YouTube under the artist name Chick. Mariah's friend Clarissa Dane is singing lead vocals, and Mariah's back to being a backup singer. The entire project is an escape valve, but it's not a solution. Mariah knows that if she wants anything to change with Tommy, she has to do it as Mariah, not Bianca. But that's a lot easier said than done. It's January 29th, 1996. And Mariah Carey has just performed Fantasy at the American Music Awards in Los Angeles. Now, she's in her wardrobe trailer behind the Shrine Auditorium, shimmying out of her costume. Even though she's in a rush to change, she's still more relaxed than usual. The show has its own security people, so this is one of the few moments of her life where Tommy's henchmen aren't glued to her side. She changes into her next outfit, a pair of black leather pants and a form-fitting black turtleneck for the rest of the show. Since Tommy won't let her show much skin, Mariah has to get creative if she wants to feel and look sexy. The leather pants do the trick. She checks herself in the mirror and then steps out of the wardrobe trailer. And that's when a white Rolls Royce pulls up in front of her. The tinted window slowly rolls down, and Mariah finds herself eye to eye with Tupac Shakur.
Damn.
Yeah, their eye contact is electric. And then his eyes wander down and then back up, taking all of Mariah in for the sexiest 3 seconds of her life. When he's finished, he says, "Hi, Mariah," and rolls the window up again.
Man, I felt that from here.
Yeah, so did Mariah. For the rest of the ceremony, Mariah's entire body is buzzing. She's sitting next to Tommy in the front row, acting like everything's normal. But inside, she's stress singing We Belong Together on repeat. Something inside of her has been turned on like a switch. And this is all new for her. Growing up, Mariah refused to let boys and sex distract her from her career. She watched her older sister get pregnant at 15 and swore that was never going to happen to her. And Tommy, while that relationship has lots of tension, none of it is sexual. But now, Mariah's starting to think she wants more from her life. Over the course of the night, she picks up awards for Best Female Pop Artist and Best Female R&B Artist. But the highlight of the evening is still those few sublime moments when she had Tupac's eyes all over her. She wants to feel that way again, and she knows it's never going to be with Tommy. It's November of 1996, and Mariah and Tommy are at a dinner party at a fancy restaurant. In a few days, they'll host a big Thanksgiving feast at Sing Sing for a lot of these same people. The mood is high energy and casual. The table exchanges industry gossip, talks new projects. But then the conversation turns to the music of Puff Daddy, who Mariah worked with when she collaborated with Old Dirty Bastard. It's a sore spot for Tommy. He still wants Mariah to stay in the lane he put her in, PG-rated pop princess. But when one of the industry people asks Mariah what she thinks of Puff Daddy's music, she gives an honest answer. She says Puff Daddy's sound is the future of hip-hop.
I mean, agreed.
Yeah, agree too. Except Tommy does not agree. Tommy loses his shit. His eyes flash with rage. He stands up from the table and he starts pacing the restaurant. You can basically see those cartoon puffs of steam coming out of his ears. Everyone at the table is like, "What's wrong with Tommy? What just happened?" But Mariah knows. She dared to voice her own opinion in public. And it was an opinion he felt threatened by. Tommy doesn't get hip hop. He doesn't like hip hop. And the fact that Mariah loves it reminds him that a part of her still isn't under his control. Tommy does a couple more laps around the perimeter of the restaurant. All the other diners are looking at him now. Is he having some kind of nervous breakdown? What's going on? Finally, he stomps back to the table, slams his hands down and says, "I just want everyone to know that Thanksgiving is canceled."
Wow. Thank God this wasn't in 2001. They would have missed my performance in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yeah, that would have been a real tragedy.
I know.
Mariah is mortified, of course, but not surprised. Tantrums like this are Tommy's MO. This time, though, she does something she's never done before. When he announces that they're leaving, she refuses to go home with him. He's like, "Come on, get in the Range Rover." But she knows that if she gets in the car, he'll take his meltdown out on her, just like he has so many times in the past. So tonight, she decides she's not gonna take it. She shakes her head and says, "No."
Wait, this is playing out in front of everyone?
Yep, but the audience is what gives her courage. She knows she's taking a huge risk, but because they're in a public place with a table full of witnesses, she takes a gamble. And it works. Tommy tears off in the Range Rover without her. Mariah lets out a huge sigh of relief. Then she and a girlfriend sneak out through the kitchen, have a drink at a nearby bar, and go stay the night in a hotel. It's one small nightcap for womankind and one giant leap for Mariah Carey.
When you find new ways to save, you can reach your financial goals more easily and still have the occasional treat.
Exactly. And Chime's here to help you do that. With a Chime checking account, you can make financial progress with features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe, or getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit.
Yep. So if you set up direct deposit into your Chime account and use an activated debit card, Chime will spot you up to your limit when you exceed your balance.
And I love that Chime never charges fees or interest for using SpotMe. To date, Chime has spotted members over $20 billion.
My God. Take more control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/rich. That's chime.com/rich.
Chime feels like progress.
Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Optimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Optimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10, to get your Magnesium Breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10.
It's a few weeks after Tommy canceled Thanksgiving. Mariah and Tommy are sitting side by side in an office with an unusual number of tissue boxes and scented candles. It's a small win. Mariah's gotten Tommy to agree to couples therapy. Granted, the therapist they're seeing is Tommy's longtime therapist.
Of course it is.
But at least it's a therapist. And Mariah is desperate for someone to talk to. Everyone in her world is connected to and terrified of Tommy, just like she is. She's been keeping everything inside. And their therapist, this little old lady with short amber hair and wise eyes, actually listens to her. Mariah talks about how she's been breaking out in hives lately and that her dermatologist has told her it's from stress. Then Tommy cuts in and he's like, "Stress? What the fuck you gotta be stressed about?" Mariah feels herself shutting down, her voice evaporating. But the therapist cuts in over Tommy. She looks him straight in the eyes and announces, "If you don't relax your grip on your wife, you're gonna lose her."
Preach. Does he actually listen?
He does, at least a little bit. A month or so later, Mariah and Tommy walk arm in arm down the red carpet at a charity gala for the Fresh Air Fund. And when Mariah smiles for the cameras, for the first time in forever, the smiles aren't fake. She's smiling because after the gala, she gets to go out to dinner with friends on her own, without Tommy. It's something she negotiated hard for, with the help of her therapist.
Okay, so I want to cheer her on here, but this is honestly kind of like watching a prisoner draw a window on their cell wall. And it's like, yeah, that's not the sky. It's just a blue crayon.
Yeah, okay, fine. It's not true freedom, but it's a taste of freedom, right? And she's thrilled. When the gala is over, Mariah feels like Cinderella in reverse. The fancy ball was the chore. And now the night begins. About an hour later, Mariah enters a trendy New York restaurant. She finds her dinner party at a long table in the back, and butterflies swarm in her stomach. Her assistant's with her, and her friends are already at the table. But so are lots of people she hasn't met before. She feels like the new kid on the first day of school.
I mean, all it takes to be popular is the best trapper keeper. Everyone knows that.
Exactly. She doesn't have a trapper keeper, but she doesn't need it. She feels lighter than she has in years. She can't believe how good it feels to be young and fabulous and free, if only for a night. She settles in and tries to catch up with the conversation. It's a young New York crowd. Everyone's from different backgrounds, and they're insanely smart. Right now, they're talking about race and identity and the concept of white passing. Mariah's riveted. She's never been able to talk to anyone about being half black, half white. Her family never talked about it. Tommy's definitely never wanted to talk about it. And suddenly these strangers are saying, yes, this is absolutely something you can talk about. A man directly across the table from her joins in. He says he's half white, half black too. And Mariah does a double take. She hadn't paid any attention to him when she sat down. He looked like a jock, not someone she'd have anything in common with. But the moment he starts talking, everyone else fades away. It's just like that moment when she and Tupac locked eyes.
So she had to change her underwear?
Okay, well, it's not as sexual this time. I mean, don't get me wrong, this man is good looking. But it's more like she's discovering all these new needs in herself. The night of the award ceremony, she'd never realized how much she wanted to own her sexuality. And now tonight, she's realizing how much she wants to talk to someone who's had the same life experiences she's had. Someone who knows what it's like to not be white enough and not be black enough. And someone who's become incredibly successful despite that. Because I forgot to mention this, but the guy sitting across from her, his name is Derek Jeter. They spend the rest of the night talking, and it's magical. Derek tells Mariah that he plays her song Anytime You Need a Friend before every Yankees game for inspiration.
Okay, that's expert level flirting.
Yeah, I mean, I only go out with guys who listen to ETR before every presentation.
As you should.
But we're talking about Mariah, and Anytime You Need a Friend is one of the songs she feels most connected to. Because it's about feeling desperately alone and turning to your faith for comfort. And Mariah's never felt less alone than she has during this conversation. Mariah whispers to her assistant, get his number. And the assistant whispers back, already got it.
Give that assistant a raise.
Over the next few weeks, Mariah and Derek begin texting and calling each other. But this is all playing out after Mariah's disastrous French fry run when she basically got arrested by her own security team. So Mariah knows she has to be crazy careful. She texts Derek from restaurant bathroom stalls where her security team can't track her. And she rides shotgun while her assistant goes on errands just so she can call Derek in semi-privacy. But after a few weeks of covert communication, Mariah decides she has to see Derek. She knows it's risky, but she's got to be in the same room with him again. She has to breathe the same air. So they arrange a rendezvous.
Ooh, I love the word rendezvous.
That's a great word.
Mariah and her assistant are riding in her limo through New York City after a work meeting when they tell her unsuspecting driver that they've spontaneously decided to stop for a casual bite to eat. Clue number one that they might be lying is Mariah's outfit. She's wearing a brown crop top, a Chanel chestnut-colored leather miniskirt, and Prada boots in mocha.
Looking like a literal snack.
Yeah, so yummy. They direct the driver to a low-key pizza place that just happens to be around the corner from Derek Jeter's apartment. And they're like, be right back. Don't worry if it takes longer than usual for us to order, pay for, and consume some totally low-key pizza in this totally adultery-free establishment. The driver drops them off, and Mariah and her assistant go inside and take seats at the counter out of the driver's line of sight. Mariah picks up the menu, but she's too excited to focus on it. And a few minutes later, in walks Derek with a baseball cap pulled down low over his eyes. Mariah's heart is practically pounding out of her chest. He's even more gorgeous than she remembers. And she cannot wait until phase two of this plan. Mariah's assistant runs out to the limo to distract the driver. And while she's doing that, Mariah and Derek sneak out of the pizza place, duck around the corner, and head down a series of alleys to Derek's apartment. When they get there, Mariah's feeling a jumble of conflicting emotions. Excitement, fear, anxiety. She never really dated before Tommy, so just being in a guy's apartment is totally foreign to her. Derek disappears into the kitchen and returns with a bottle of champagne. He says, "I've been saving this because I thought one day you might come over here."
Okay, so they just didn't get pizza?
No, but it gets better. Then Derek says, "Why don't we go up to my roof deck?" Derek pops the champagne with the New York City skyline as their backdrop. They sip and talk and laugh together. And then Derek leans in and their lips touch for the very first time. As they melt into a long, tender kiss, Mariah feels like all the sadness is sliding off her body into a puddle at her feet.
Okay, well, don't get any sadness on the boots, Mariah. They're Prada.
And right then, God sends a thumbs up emoji their way in the form of a rainstorm. Heavy, cold raindrops hit their cheeks, but Mariah and Derek don't break the kiss. This is the kind of romantic connection she's been writing songs about for years, but never experienced in real life. Now that it's happening, finally, she just wants it to go on and on and on.
Okay, now that's something that does work out in Lifetime movies.
Oh, yeah. And in my mind. But it only lasts for a second. Because the very real and serious danger of the situation hits her. She breaks the kiss and says, "I have to go." She has no idea how long she's been gone, if the driver's onto her, or if Tommy knows she's gone AWOL. She rushes back to the pizza parlor to find her assistant waiting with wild eyes. They dash to the limo together and tumble inside, wet and breathless and giggling. The limo drops the assistant off at her apartment in the city, which leaves Mariah alone in the car with the driver who may or may not be onto her. On the long ride back to Sing Sing, Mariah replays her rooftop rendezvous with Derek over and over again in her mind. She knows she's crossed a line that she can't come back from, but she wouldn't change a moment of it. She's starting to know what happiness feels like, and she's going to keep moving toward it, no matter what happens next.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Even the Rich ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today, or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
This is episode 2 of our 4-part series, The Emancipation of Mariah Carey. We use many sources when researching our stories, but we especially recommend The Meaning of Mariah Carey by Mariah Carey with Michaela Angela Davis. I'm Arisha Skidmore Williams.
And I'm Brooke Sifrin. Dennis Hensley wrote this episode. Kate Young is our associate producer. Our senior producers are Natalie Shisha and Ben Gray. Our audio engineer is Sergio Enriquez. Sound design by James Morgan. Our executive producers are Stephanie Jens, Jenny Lauer Beckman, and Marsha Louie for Wondery.
Yo, Trey.
Yeah, Kevin, what's up, man?
I was just thinking, what would have happened if Drew Brees didn't fail his physical with the Dolphins and ended up playing under Nick Saban in Miami?
There's a good shot the Finns establish a dynasty. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick probably don't become GOATs, and Tuscaloosa doesn't become the center of the college football universe.
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Hey, I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former sports center anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass
or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.